Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and hope everybody had a great weekend and enjoyed some nice weather throughout the country in some areas, and of course enjoyed that what's being called is a great job report. And you know, I think the jury is still out on whether or not it was a good report or not. I think that you're seeing some very interesting market action around that report. And when you're trading, you're investing, you're looking at markets, you're observing markets, there's some very important things to note and look at, okay? Now, if we wind the clock back, you know, we go back for forever, it seems like. But, of course, we've had zero interest rates, and we've had a Fed running a Ponzi scheme for 7 years, continuing to print new money to satisfy all debt. But looking at the markets now, okay, the question will continue to be now until December the 16th as to whether or not the Federal Reserve will raise rates. Now, I will continue to say, no, I don't think that they will. But you are seeing a great battle between the bond market, which the bond futures are going down, which means that interest rates are going up. We're seeing gold being told that it's totally worthless, okay, and getting ready to possibly test the yearly lows. You've got the dollar screaming to new highs, well, not new highs, but recent highs, okay? Of course, you've got the euro currency getting slaughtered. You've got the continuation of the manipulation throughout the globe of their currencies. So the first part of this is by all means, our rates have been going up regardless of whether or not the Fed did or did not raise them, because by the lowering throughout the globe, we automatically go higher, which is why you're seeing so much strength in the U.S. dollar. Now, you can go by that. That's great. Now, if we look at the equity market, after that August 24th low, we have now had six consecutive weeks of gains. The gains are quite substantial. I mean, you've got NASDAQ that's up probably 25%. You've got the S&P and the Dow up in the mid-teens. And, of course, the Russell lagging, which is showing a divergence. But the more important message that I would look at here, and not to handicap the Fed, because I think they're unhandicapable. I think they have enough of their own troubles, but they could probably use some help. But I think if you look at the equity market is saying, well, we don't think so. We don't believe that there is going to be a rate increase. Now, you know, that by itself is not the whole story. I mean, they've been trying to telegraph a potential rate increase for God knows how long. The last real time they went for it, I believe, was in 2013 when we had what's now known as the taper tantrum. And, of course, Ben Bernanke choked on his lunch and could not bear to see the stock market actually go down, because why would anybody want to see an economy that might improve? That would be a silly thing to think, that we could actually improve by flushing out some of the crap that's being floated around by the free money that's being delivered by the Federal Reserve. And then, of course, you had Donald Trump go off saying that they're not going to raise rates because he believes that Janet Yellen wants to have Hillary Clinton win the White House. Okay. Now, of course, we know the Donald, but we also do know that Janet Yellen is a Democrat. But on the other hand, they're supposed to be neutral. But on the other hand, are they? Certainly, the policies that they have done, have had in place, have certainly not been to the right. Okay, so you know that remains to be seen. Again, I have no idea. I wouldn't even hazard to think about that if this is being done for political gain. But from my standpoint, from my point of view, I cannot imagine that they would raise rates simply because the economy sucks. Now, you can look at it any way you want, but yes, you added 271,000 jobs, but again, the pay was not a dramatic increase. Okay, the amount of earnings is not a dramatic increase. Our participation rate is still back at lows that not seen since the 70s. So do they raise? Well, you know, it's almost feels like they're, this almost feels like a dare. Do I dare to raise the rates here? Or I dare you, Janet Yellen, to raise rates. At the end of the day, I don't think they have the guts, the backbone, the balls to raise rates. I think you've got a bunch of people that, when it comes to running a business, are not very bright. When you're starting to listen to Christine Lagarde, but to me, let's take it one step farther. Okay, let's make this a real conspiracy. Maybe we can get a movie made about this. But what would you say that the Fed is creating all of these diversions, not divergences, but diversions, because they don't want to raise rates, and Bubba's right. So they're trying to create this effect that maybe they will raise rates, but really they have no intention of raising, but they will continue to keep it on the table, which should keep the stock market calm. Okay. But what they're forgetting about is the inflation of the dollar, which is creating more of a deflationary scenario, which is not good. I know we love the opportunity to pay lower prices, but unfortunately, although we do get screwed on the way up because prices never go down as fast as they come up. And certainly places like Starbucks, they never lower no matter what, even though coffee's at about 50% of its value of it was when they raised. But of course, they would never think of giving that back because that would cut from the bottom line. And again, I don't blame them. I mean, you know, they're in business to make money. And if you're someone who wants to go to Starbucks and buy coffee, then God bless you. However, is it a potential that the Fed is just playing this game? Because it seems to me that you can't get one to agree or make up their mind on anything. Now, again, I don't, you know, I care because I care about this country. I care because I care that the economy sucks. I care because I'm tired of living in what's being now a socialist nation. But at the end of the day, okay, I do not believe that they will have the stones to step up and do it. I mean, again, I'd like to see it. I've been calling for it for a couple of years while saying that they probably won't do it for, you know, they, in my mind, from what I'm looking at, I'm saying it might be another year away before they can do it. But I guess that won't stop the BS talking about it every day. I mean, did you notice how we're not focusing on the recession that we're in? We're not focusing on the other problems that are in this country. We're not focusing that nobody can borrow any damn money because the banks are holding on to it like they're choking a chicken. We're talking about the Fed. And isn't that amazing? So my question is it a divergence? Or not a divergence. Is it a diversion? Okay. Or is it real? Is she or isn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. We have no idea what she's going to do because, quite frankly, they have no idea what they're going to do. And that I would bet on. Okay. Now, again, I have no facts, but based on what I've watched, based on what I've seen, I would bet they have no clue either. So we will see. And we're going to try not to talk so much about these yumbos. But at the end of the day, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break. And we'll be right back with our buddy Mike McClone.
Stay with me.
The Bubba Show.
Listen up, this is philosophical. Mud grips wide.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is time for our A number one analyst, Mike McClone, ETF Securities. Check out ETFsecurities.com. And Mr. McClone, the jobs number was a, I don't know if it was really a surprise. I mean, I actually expected a blowout number based on the way the bonds were trading. I thought there was a battle between the bonds and the equity markets. But what is your take of the jobs number, and what do you see going forward?
Well, first, I think we're going to have to figure out where you're going to take me out to dinner, because we had that little bet on the number.
There's no chance.
And not on the number, on the Fed tightening.
There's no chance they tighten. The only thing that Janet Yellen's going to tighten is her belt, because she... There is no way they tighten. You can take that to the bank. They're not tightening. They have no basis of tightening. The economy sucks. There's nothing good to say about the economy unless you can tell me something. So go ahead, tell me what's good.
Well, the number was extraordinarily good, much stronger than I or anybody else expected, and
actually, I called for 280. Just so you know.
I'm sorry, you what?
I called for 280. That was my call.
Oh, well, you're on. Well, because no one did, and you were only a few people who did that. And so overall, the number's stronger than expected. Even before the number with the Janet Yellen's testimony earlier in the week, she did say that December was a live possibility. And basically, the Fed speak is very clear. They are determined to get off zero. They're very likely to tighten at the December meeting, unless there's a good, compelling reason to tell them not to. And this number, to me, is a green go light to tighten. Unless the stock market goes down like it did in August, or we have some really bad data, the Fed's going to tighten. The key thing will be how the markets react afterwards. Now, that, you know, key fears I've been having remain this significant downward trend in retail sales. So we need that to change and pick up. Now, this unemployment number implies that it should be, but generally retail sales lead unemployment. So that's what's going to be happening this coming week. Retail sales come out Friday, and we'll see what they say. But overall, we should expect tightening. And the key thing will be how markets react. Now, what we had earlier when they took the tightening out of the market, the stock market rallied. And to me, that was a double dog dare to go ahead and tighten. And so the Fed's taking that double dog dare. And now it's going to be about, we've had this pretty substantial rally. It was driven by QE. The QE is being taken away. Everything, I think, really is going to be depending, a lot's going to depend on how the stock market reacts to the Fed taking away the punch bowl.
Well, again, I do not think that they'll take away the punch bowl, especially, I mean, you know, let's look at some of the key factors that go into this. First thing is, they did, while they had that big 280 number, 271, they did take away 50,000 jobs from last report. So that was an adjustment downwards. Yes, wage increase was a little bit better, but not anywhere near good enough. But my contention remains that because the rest of the world is manipulating their currency and running their own Ponzi schemes, if you've seen our dollar, we're getting ready to punch back over the buck even on the dollar index. Okay, and we've artificially already raised our rates based on what the rest of the world is doing. So are you going to tell me that we're going to continue this, and we're going to see, not only are we going to see not inflation, but we're going to see deflation? So tell me why that's wrong.
Well, that's, you know, I think the average person would say, well, I don't understand this deflation thing. But from a management measurement standpoint, CPI is zero. Consumer price index for the last 12 months. Consumer consumption expenditures are very weak. Virtually all that data for inflation is very weak. But the Fed, this is where it's kind of key, where they better be right, where she, you know, and Janet Yellen even said in the testimony, everybody, the Fed thinks these are transitory inflation day issues, and when their primary reason is to tighten is they expect inflation to go to 2%. So that's where the oxymoron is. What part of beginning restraint do I not get about them getting to 2% target in inflation, which is well below now? So they're hoping that things will improve despite the fact they're tight, and they already really have. As you pointed out, the dollar's very strong, dollar index is strong, commodities have collapsed. So you know, they're hoping that this is a bottoming sign in those trends, and that's the thing that I've been very fearful of, these downward trends in not only the backward-looking measures of the market, notably retail sales and inflation, but the forward-looking indicators like commodities. Now, one thing that's really helped pick up a little bit lately is bond yields have ticked up, but not so much. I mean, the 10-year note yield is now around 2.25. It ended last year around 2.17, so it's virtually unchanged, but they're starting to tick up a little, just not enough to matter. So it's going to be, this is a pretty serious game they're playing, which is, hope it works out for all of us.
Well, the problem is if you take out the oxy of oxymoron, that's what you've got who's leading this country right now, starting with the Federal Reserve, because they have not done a good job to begin with. And now they're going to raise, and now there's talk that they may want to raise because they want to get the rate increase out of the way, because you know there's only one coming. This is not going to be a series of raises, in my opinion.
Well, that will be key. If they're one and done, what would it take to be one and done? It would take the trends you and I have been talking about to continue. And that would signify a misfire, basically what the ECB did in 2011 and what the Bank of Japan has done for many times. A misfire is probably the worst case scenario. It's probably one of the best case scenarios for things like gold and silver and the bond market. But it's really probably the worst case scenario for the economy, the Fed, and the stock market, because it means that they have tried to catch up. They've tried to live this dream of a truly expanding economy where they have to start tightening like they've done in the past in 2004 when they started a cycle in 2000, I think it was 1994 when they started another significant one, then that would be a big problem. So that, to me, why all eyes right now have to be on the stock market. And if stock market does not go up or starts going down, that should probably take down a lot of dominoes with it.
Well, you know, so we look and we've got, I think, some pretty serious problems. And again, I will continue to state that I believe that we are still in recession, have never come out. I don't see this happening. And I'm concerned about the entire economy. Am I right? Am I wrong? What's your thoughts?
No, you have to be right. I mean, let's just look at the total number of people on food stamps now is almost 50 million people. That's, what, one-seventh of the population? That's almost double the last time the Fed started a tightening cycle. Debt to GDP is very high. The trends I really am concerned about, the ones we talked about a lot, is these downward trends in retail sales. Current retail sales for the last 12 months are 2.4%. Now, auto sales have been great. Now, retail sales are coming out this week, and I just want to see that increase. To compare that to history, 2008 June was running 2.2%. as we trended down in a similar fashion. So we need those numbers to really start picking up. The Fed thinks it's going to happen. This unemployment number implies that it should, but as I've been worried about, is retail sales generally lead unemployment, and just the fact that, you know, okay, this number looks great, but we need to see the money. Let's see the money. Let's see people start spending, because, you know, two-thirds of our economy is from consumer spending. We need to see that pick up, and that's where I think, what's the bottom line for us? What are we supposed to do as investors? We've been underwater and been getting hurt a little bit. I still see the value in precious metals, gold, silver, the bond market. I still, you know, like to see that true inflation. I don't really see happening with this dollar strength and the Fed tightening. It's before we're going to see inflation. It's another story, and I just can't get excited about the stock market. I just so worried about that mean reversion of that QE rally.
Well, again, and again, I think I still say there'll still be QE. You'll be buying me dinner. Where do I want to go? I don't even like New York. I don't have to wait to come to Chicago.
I'd love to come to Chicago. You know, I'm from Chicago, but I think they're going to tighten. I mean, they're going to need a good reason not to now at the December meeting. Of course, we have plenty of time until December. I think they're going to tighten, which means you'll be buying me dinner, and I'm happy to do that in Chicago because I'll be there over Christmas and maybe even before.
No, but what makes you think that they actually have a clue? I go back to they don't even have a clue. So what makes you think they have a clue? I mean, seriously.
Well, to me, it's not so much that what they have a clue. The bottom line is they said they're going to tighten. This number gives them the reason to do it, despite what they said is the inflation being well below their target. And the bottom line is they want to get off zero. So to me, it's not about it's about what they're going to do and where they're going to be the repercussions for us as investors in the market. And bottom line, it'd be wonderful if they're right. And let's say a year from now, we're talking about them, you know, going to 1% and they keep tightening as inflation's picking up and the economy's doing great. That would be wonderful. But to me, that's still a bit of a dream. And the bottom line, to really see that happen, we need to see a pickup in consumer spending and retail sales, which we're going to see maybe a little bit. We just need to see that reverse. And it's been trending down since 2011.
And we're not going to see a pickup now, because the bottom line is, no matter what you say, no matter what she says, no matter what any of those other Fed dopes say as they went on their speeches this week trying to prep everybody, it all really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, the middle class remains in recession, has never come out of the recession. They're still not working. A 271,000 print, when you take off 50, is 220. And they're not good jobs. So where, you know, it just, to me, is absolutely nonsensical that they would, they're not, they just can't raise unless they just want to be, say, hey, we're smarter, we're not smarter, but we're more powerful than you, so we're going to raise. But at the end of the day, the rhetoric that they speak all week, you got one saying one saying another, you got the IMF talking. They're so confused, they have no idea what they're going to do. But we're going to talk more with my man Mike when I come back, because there's some ugly things happening, and I'm a little concerned, and I need to be reassured by my man Mike McClone, ETF Securities. Check them out. They do have the best ETFs, in my opinion, for the precious metal space. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with, again, my man Mike McClone. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man Mike McClone, ETF Securities. Also check out ETFSecurities.com. Okay, my boy, you know, gold has been kind of signaling something's going on for a while. You know, you and I both thought that once we got past 1170, it looked like it might make a run, and basically it got to 1190 and now is under 1100. What's your take? You like gold still? I mean, I said the other day I thought 1100 would hold, and we cut through there like a hot new knife through butter. Is this a panic sell-off now, or is this the start of a new trend in gold and we're going to start going lower?
I'm still, and my precious metals monthly is just coming out, and I still put out all the details on gold. There's a substantial amount of buying in gold and silver, so I'm still biased to gold. But I have to be honest, in markets, you know, markets, you have to be careful with what markets are signaling further weakness. And gold trading below 1100 means it's going to continue to go lower. And I don't like to say if it goes down, it's going to go further, but it's just one of those situations right now. We're just going to have to hold on a little bit tighter on this. Bottom line, the analysis I'm doing, it's still, to me, looks very attractive, and that is the amount of demand, physical demand for gold and silver is in some ways almost hitting record levels. So there's been some significant buying, and to me, the bottom line now with this data we've had, at least in the short term, will be how the stock market reacts. And unfortunately, that's going to be the key barometer. So look at it this way. Let's look at what happened in August. The stock market went down. Then we had a bad September unemployment number, and the Fed came out looking, you know, like they're going to come back and not tighten. So a lot of it depends on the stock market. And if that goes down, that will be the key risk for the Fed and the market, and that will be a key bottoming indicator, I think, for gold. But for now, we have to see how that reacts. And unfortunately, we're kind of all subject to what the stock market does.
So, Mike, what takes away... Okay, now you're saying, and you said this for a while, and look, I'm a fan of gold, so I'm not being critical here. I'm asking you, if there's such a strong demand for physical gold, why does it keep going down?
Well, that's the biggest pressure factor on gold, is this global dichotomy of the rest of the world easing, the Fed tightening, and the strong dollar. So look at gold. We talk about gold in terms of U.S. dollar. That's what matters year to date, or for over the last 12 months, it's down, 7% or so. But if you look at that in terms of the euro, gold's up because the euro's been weaker. So one of the primary pressure factors for gold is this concept of Fed tightening when the rest of the world's easing, and the, gold is essentially the main quasi, you know, main currency of the world other than the U.S. dollar. And it's one way to measure the dollar, but dollar versus the other currencies has been strong, which means dollar value in terms of gold has been down.
Okay, but based on that logic, I didn't have to trade gold. I could just trade the currency.
Well, the U.S. dollar, sure, and the key thing to do for the dollar lately has been being bullish and long because it keeps going up. Why? Because we have this interest rate disparity. U.S. interest rates are now much higher than Europe, maybe about two times the 10-year note yield, and we're priced for tightening where they're printing more money. They're doing QE and buying bonds, so that disparity is going to continue to strengthen the dollar and be a pressure factor for gold. This is a question of how much longer that can last.
And now I could look at this now as a potential blow off to the downside in gold. I mean, you know, we're now dangerously close to the year low, you know, 1071, I think it was. You know, so is it, do we have enough strength to hold it here? You know, I mean, because, you know, I heard Dick Gartman on Friday talking and he goes, well, you know, I'm bullish gold on because of the euro currency. And I go, great. But I mean, again, that's just, you're just trading the currency. You're trading one for the other. And what we really want to see is some sustained strength in the actual a spot price of gold, because the spot is the spot, whether no matter what currency you're trading in. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I think that's the key thing. In the shorter term, it's going to be under pressure. We have to admit that, and I have to unfortunately say, well, we're going to have to just ride this one out. The question is how far it goes. I don't really know. I still see what I think is still a significant bottoming process. And bottom line is there's been some major real bearish factors for gold over the last 12 months, yet compared to other commodities, it's not down very much. So let's look at over the last 12 months, gold is maybe down 6-7%. The Bloomberg Commodity Index is down almost 25%. Crude oil is down 30-something percent. And the dollar is, you know, the dollar index is up 13%. Those are major, really bearish factors for gold, yet it's hanging in there. It's really not down a lot. So my bottom line for gold is it's not going to go down a lot in this environment, what's going to take. But we need a bit of a reversal for that. Continued sustained dollar strength and continued sustained strength in the stock market will be a pressure factor on gold. I did not think it would last this long, but so far the equity market has recovered pretty well, and the dollar index is just taking back off again.
Okay, so now we've got, you know, your thought that I'm going to owe you dinner. I may have to take you out because they're going to raise, and I'm still saying I don't see it. I don't think that the Fed has done a good job. And what do you say to the other pressures that are pressuring Yellen not to raise rates? Is there any chance they went out? Are you 100% certain?
Yeah, well, I'm never 100% certain because I don't even know if I'm going to get home tonight. But this is, to me, this Fed tightening is just from a Fed speak as an ex-bond trader. I'd be setting up my bond portfolio for a Fed tightening right now because the Fed speak is completely there. It doesn't matter if it's December. You know, I know it's around Christmas and everything. They're going to do it. That's what they've warned the market. I mean, when they do it in front of a congressional testimony, that's about as good as they get. And the data's all lined up. And the Fed fund futures are now priced for it. The point is now, the greater risk is if they don't go. They need a compelling reason not to go, like a crash in the stock market or some really bad data. Both are unlikely.
So now why would a crash in the stock market prevent the Fed from raising? Because they're not really supposed to be concerned with the stock market. I mean, that I don't remember reading that in their mandate, that they're supposed to be concerned about the stock market. But for 7 years, they have been concerned about the daily moves in the stock market, which is why that chicken Bernanke didn't raise rates in May of 13. So if the market crashes, which it most likely will, because of this potential raise in rates, why would I believe that won't happen? And why is it that they are so concerned about the stock market? I mean, you know, when you take a look at the world population, was it 5% of people are involved in the stock market?
Yeah, but it's understood, and I agree with you, and that's part of the problem. The Fed has been, you know, really gearing monetary policy near towards the stock market for the last 20, 30 years. And just a good example is every time the stock market's gone down a lot, the Fed has eased to help alleviate potential global, you know, potential recession, because the stock market crashing will be recessionary. The key thing I'm fearful about is what's happened and how we got here, and that is the impatience the Fed showed in 2012 when they started QE3. They were basically just impatient that the market wasn't taking off fast enough, the employment wasn't improving fast enough. So this is what the key thing that I was really concerned about in reading Ben Bernanke's book. They started QE QE3, which effectively is printing money, when the stock in late 2012, September, in the stock market, S&P 500 was below 1,500. Now, here we are, 600 points above that, really supported by QE3. Now we're taking it away. So what I fear is because of the Fed's aggressive aggressive impatience, we've priced in a lot of future returns into the equity market, and the biggest fear is that some of those start coming back, and then we have the domino effect: stocks go down a lot, and the economy goes down with it. Hopefully, that's not going to happen, and hopefully, the Fed will be able to navigate that, and that would be the key thing to slow down tightening if the stock market starts reacting badly. And I'm not really the person to really make the best analysis on this. New York Fed Governor Dudley basically said that, says we're going to start tightening and let the market dictate how fast we should continue to do it.
Okay, now, we look at this whole scene of tightening, but now, the retail sales you've mentioned, jobs are still not good. I mean, we're still losing more jobs than we're gaining in dollar terms, I mean, in actual value to the economy. So what is good about what's going on? Tell me what's good about what's happening.
Well, there is a substantially positive, good trend in unemployment. And we see the rates, or at least the rates that the Fed watches and we've been watching, the rate that people watch is 5% is great. Non-farm payrolls are picking up. That's great. It's, the actual qualifying how good those jobs are and how low the unemployment is difficult. And that's where I get down to retail sales, is these numbers should be doing much better if these unemployment numbers are accurate and saying the economy is doing much better. And that, to me, is the oxymoron that we mentioned earlier that I'm really worried about. But for now, at least the way the Fed looks at it, is they're worried about excessive risk taking. They've said that. And that's one of the biggest issues. We've had this substantial rally in the equity market, and they have to start trying to prick that bubble before it gets too out of hand. And this is very similar to what the housing market did up to 2006-07. And then it was too late. They had to, as it collapsed, the entire economy went down, which is hope the similar thing doesn't happen with the stock market.
Well, I'm going to assume that the Fed is wrong. I'm going to assume that you're going to be buying me dinner at, I haven't been to Gene and Giorgetti's for a long time. I think that I'm going to figure on Gene and Giorgetti. I haven't been there for a while because I'm going to enjoy that, sliding that down with that nice single malt scotch in my mouth. Well, I'm telling you that they're full of crap and they're not going to raise rates here. But as we look forward here, so they raise rates in December, in your opinion, and do they raise again next year, or do they sit on their hands because it's an election year?
Well, I don't think the election year is going to have a lot to do with them. They're supposed to be apolitical. It really shouldn't be an issue. If they continue raising rates as the market and economy improve, that's the best situation for all of us. That's good. It means we're all getting better jobs, the economy's picking up, and inflation's picking up, which we need a little bit of, and retail sales are doing better. I would hope that's a wonderful thing. I just feel that's kind of a dream. And like you mentioned, if it turns out to be one and done, that's more the worst-case scenario, that they might have to turn back to easing. So hopefully that'll happen. Hopefully we'll get that situation that, to me, as an investor, I want to protect myself just in case reality kicks in, and that now that we've had this long-term equity rally, this long-term expansion, which is overdue for a bit of a contraction, that hopefully it won't happen soon. And that's the key thing, though. Just think, if the equity market goes down and we get a bit of a recession before the election, it's probably more likely we get a Republican, assuming they can get a decent candidate. And if everything's fine, we're doing well, unless Republicans come up with a good candidate, it's probably more likely we're going to get a Democrat.
Mike McClone, you're awesome. ETF Securities, ETFSecurities.com. That steak is tasting so good. I can feel it sliding down. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Todd.
Heading down south to the land of the...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, of course, we just had our buddy on, Mike McClone. And, boy, that dinner's going to taste good when I get it. Because, he's a really good analyst. And I do value his opinion and respect him immensely. But I think he's falling into the trap with everybody else. And this goes back to what I talked about at the beginning of the show: is this a diversion, or is this a real life possibility? And it's just hard to imagine, that they're now talking about, could the economy be looking at a recession in the next 6 months? Well, I say that we've been in a recession for the last 7 years. So what has really changed in the last 7 years that would say that we were no longer in a recession? Well, let's see. Let's look at the good news. We're making less money. Oh, wait, that's not good news. We have more people entitled. Oh, well, that's not good news either. Let's see. Well, we got a lot of people working more than one job that can't pay their rent. We've got an overflowing rent bubble, especially at the commercial level, but even in the residential area, we're building rent prices because everybody says, well, all you got to do now is just buy property and rent it out and you'll make a fortune. Is that good? I don't know. We don't have enough new first-time home buyers because they can't get the loan because of these ridiculous restrictions and because of the bank. I mean, for numbers of reasons, I guess I can't find a lot of good news that I've seen. Well, I guess it is good news. I mean, truthfully, good news that oil's lower. Certainly that does help. I don't think it helps to, I don't think it's going to help enough to increase retail sales. I don't think it's going to be enough to save the Christmas season. And certainly I do not think it will be enough to save margins. Even if they save sales, I do not believe they'll save margins. I think this is a problem that we're really forgetting to look at. And I think this will be a much bigger concern down the road, is the inability to make any margin on your goods. Because, you know, as I've mentioned many times before, there's stores that I shop in, and I shop there for a reason, because even if we're making money, it can't be much. So, you know, where is the money going to come from? Where is the salvation going to come from? You know, you got to look around and say, hey, you know, there's some issues here. Now, we talk about, you can hear them yap about new car sales are great. Of course they're great. Look, we live by the month, okay? So all people care is, can I buy it and pay for it by the month? And have you noticed that car loans now go out, I think, 7, 8, or 9 years? Of course, cars now cost more than a house cost in, you know, 19... Well, actually, some cars now cost more than houses cost today. But in legitimate comparison, a luxury car costs more than a decent house of 40 years ago. And I'm not making that for any other remark, just that now you're driving around and you're taking out a mortgage on a car. You know, it used to be a four-year loan. My God, they're giving you 48 months. Oh, my goodness, that's a long time. Well, now you're getting 96-month loans. And you're getting that unbelievable 0%. Have you looked at that? Is that great or what, man? I get this big $50,000 automobile, and they're not going to charge me any interest. Man, am I getting a deal there? But of course, what you forget, and what we don't ever look behind, is they say don't look behind the curtain. What you're not seeing is the effective rate is really 6 to 8%, because you are not getting back any of those deals, and they're just selling you the car at retail and building in the finance so they can just divide the payments up. Okay, you know, just remember this, that old Bubba says to you, ain't nobody giving nothing for nothing, okay? There ain't no free lunch. You like that, ain't? I'm cranky today. It's me. That's my street Chicago education. But sir, in all seriousness, they don't give anything for free. There is no magic out there, okay? It's the same as when we talk about trading and we talk about the world. There is no magic bullet. I'm sure the Fed actually believes that what they were doing was going to probably try to work. And I do believe that they actually did lose their way. But we all know that, you know, when you live on a budget in your home, that you have to adhere to that budget or you're not going to be able to live. And, of course, I guess somewhere along the line, many, many years ago, our government lost their way about how to keep a budget. And now, of course, the Fed has lost the way, and the two of them together, you know, like the Tasmanian devils. I mean, they just can't stop. But we have done a great job at creating, you know, a lot more necessity for people to be on some sort of public aid. And that's always a great thing, because why shouldn't we continue to build that so we can continue to build the Democratic Party so that they'll go out and vote? I mean, what would be wrong with that? I mean, is there anything more exciting than bribing or buying your votes by creating more entitlements? I mean, is that not something that makes it even more nonsensical? So I want to, you know, look at it. Well, where are we really going to go? And how are we going to really get out of this mess? Because we've still got, I'm telling you this right now, at the current rate of what we're seeing done and what's happening in this country, my opinion is we're 20 years away from seeing whatever he wants to call normalcy. But the question really is what is normal? Okay. Maybe low interest rates are really normal. Maybe the high interest rates were abnormal, or from Young Frankenstein, AB normal. Okay. Think about it. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not an economist. I'm a guy with an opinion that fortunately gets the ability to express that opinion. And certainly, as you know, I'm not afraid to express it to anybody, anywhere, at any time. But, you know, what is normal? What are we waiting for in normal? Okay. I mean, because I know what was normal for me at 21 is not normal for me at 60. Okay. So what is the new normal, or what is the market going to be? But I find one of the problems that I see and that troubles me is that we've really taken away the price discovery model in many things. We've really become so overregulated by the government and by their agencies. Now, don't get me wrong. We know that there are a lot of crooks out there, and we know that a lot of bad things happen to good people, because after all, you know, it goes back to what we said earlier. If it looks too good and it smells too good, but a lot of people can't control themselves under those circumstances. They have to take the shot. We've all done it. Every one of us. I don't know all of you personally, but I think we've all taken that opportunity when something looked too good and you kind of knew it was too good, but you took the shot anyways. And of course you lost your ass. And so, you know, to me, it doesn't look very good. It doesn't look healthy. Okay. You know, I look around at folks and things that I see, and I continue to see the debt meter go higher. And, you know, we're going to have Obama when he's out of office. He'll be $20 trillion in debt. Now, again, I am not going to blame that. As much as I don't like him, I'm not going to blame all that on him, because, of course, the rule of large numbers also, the multiplication gets easier. The more debt you get, the more you got to service it. So, you know, but he did, you know, double and then double again from 5 to 10 to 20 trillion. But again, that is not just a function of what he did. That's a function of a bunch of lazy government workers and politicians, excuse me, wrong word, that don't want to change the laws because they're too interested in you getting theirs. You know, so why should we change and budget ourselves when we can just keep printing and have the availability of that free cash that keeps rolling in? You know, how'd you like to be able to stick up somebody without a gun or a mask and just say, here, hand me over all your money. And if not, we'll go in the back room and print me some more. You know, just things to think about. You know, I mean, we've got basically we're 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. We're 4 weeks left approximately in the trading year. We know, yes, the markets are open all the way to December. But basically, if you're a trader, it's about 4 weeks left, four and a half weeks before it totally goes slow. Of course, it's been so slow, it's hard to say that we're not in August right now, although it is November. But keep those things in mind. And more importantly, keep in mind to be disciplined and patient and wait for your opportunity to trade the market. And don't try to outsmart or outguess the market, because if you do, you'll end up in the crapper just like anybody else. Because the one thing about the market that I can tell you from experience, but also from observing it, is it don't get sick, it don't get tired, it never stops. And at the end of the day, when they mark them up, if you lost money, that's a real loss. If you made money, that's a real gain. And if you try to pick, be smarter than the market, you're going to be a loser. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you catch The Bubba Show on libertytalk.fm on demand. Everybody have a great day. I appreciate you being here, and I'm really excited and looking forward to the rest of the year, because I'm hoping something's going to happen here. This is The Bubba Show. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.